prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. I am Dave, with me is Pastor Jeff, and this is
where faith
and reason
meet.
Head on.
This is the dating show for faith and reason. Faith, you've got three reasons behind this curtain. Science, mathematics, and archaeology. Which one would you like to take out tonight?
I'll take them all.
Today, we're going with historical information.
Right on.
Nah, we're talking about slavery in the Old Testament.
Right, which, people tend to knock the Bible a little bit for its treatment of slavery.
Oh, yeah. The Bible says, go ahead, take slaves. So what's up with that?
Really?
Why?
Bad thing, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, if God was good, why would he allow this? We're going to talk about this today. We're also going to answer Bible contradiction. Each and every week, we slam one of these down, pin it to the mat, and punch it in the nose, even though we're pacifists.
Right.
Yay.
I got nothing to add to that.
So we're looking at whether God's omnipotent or not, and we're going to answer that supposed Bible contradiction. And we got a listener question, a really good one. So, okay, today I want to review really quickly what we did last week.
Okay.
Last week we talked about how do we know the Bible's from God, and we shared four principles, because today's kind of bouncing off of that. Like, what are these principles of canonicity is what we called them. They're really, really important stuff. And we gave four of them. Do you remember what they were, Dave?
Yeah, the first one was it had to be written by a prophet.
That's right. It has to be written by a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking like, some rapper that named himself, you're on prophet.
Right.
No, we're talking like a genuine prophet who people know was from God.
Right.
Who did miracles. They proved they're from God. I mean, it was absolutely clear. If this prophet wrote something down, people looked at it.
Right.
Then if it told the truth about God, we said, well, look, what this supposed prophet did, this guy that we know is a prophet, wrote something down, and it is absolutely true. It's telling us truth about God. And then number three, it contains the power of God. It's not just truth. It's not just information, but it changed lives.
Right. And that's the kind of stuff that when you're a believer and you read it, it really invigorates you.
Yes.
You know?
And so this is the third piece. And then there's a fourth piece. Was it accepted by the people of God? If the church is by and large rejected, or even some of the churches rejected these supposed scriptures, they were not included in our Bible.
Right.
It had to be done by someone we knew was a prophet who wrote the truth about God that contained power to transform lives, and all the Christians and churches said, yes, this is scripture. We all accept it as thus.
And quite often, that came about like right now. It wasn't like it was...
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't reviewed. It was like, oh, let's take a look at it.
No, no.
It was like they received the letter, they read it, oh, this one's from God.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, every single, the skeptics make it sound like in a dark corner.
In somebody's basement somewhere.
Some bishops got together and said, let's include a new book in the Bible.
Or let's get rid of one. let's vote one off the island.
But that's not what happened.
Right.
No, the churches, when these things were written, right away, boom, the Christians in the churches said, wow, we recognize this as scripture. And so that's that. And there's more principles, but those are the four we focused on last week. So the question is, if we knew this stuff was scripture, if this is from God and written by a prophet, why would God allow slavery in some of these scriptures?
It does, for someone who doesn't know the history behind it, it does present a quandary.
Just so you guys can see, Leviticus 25:45 gives us a little picture, just an example verse showing where God says it's okay.
All right. You may also buy some of the temporary residents living among you and members of their clans born in your country, and they will become your property.
Okay, there we have it. So God said they could do this.
That almost sounded like a commercial.
A commercial.
Sorry, I shouldn't use my radio voice when I say stuff like that.
That's awesome. We got to hold on. So the question is, do you need a slave? The Bible says in Leviticus 25:45, you may also buy some of the temporary residents living among you. And for the low, low price of $29.90.
Okay, stop.
That was awful. Someone's going to cut that out and be like, did you hear what Truth Revolution is doing?
Yeah, totally.
All right. Listen, licensing purposes, no one's allowed to copy that part.
Right.
All right. Anyway, so the question is, what's the deal?
Right.
And we get to our cracked acronym. Yeah. The letter D is important. The letter D stands for dialect.
Mm-hmm.
the meaning of words changes over time. So before we can accuse the Bible of contradiction or problems, we must understand what the original meaning of phrases and words were.
Right. And that's actually true, even like within the last 10 years. Dialect changes.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm going to let's just throw it out there.
Okay.
If I transported someone here from the year 1850,
mm-hmm.
and they said, I am so gay. In fact, I've decorated my room with rainbows.
Right. Somebody might actually take that the wrong way.
Well, hopefully, if you knew they're from the 1800s, nobody would question their sexuality, mm-hmm. because gay meant happy and rainbow was a sign of God's promises.
Right.
Right? We've transformed the meaning of the rainbow and we transformed the meaning of the word gay. And so likewise, if just in 50 years or 100 years, a word can go from meaning happy and God's promise all the way to a sexual orientation.
Right.
Can you imagine how a word might change over 3,000 years?
Yes, I can, actually.
So the word slave is what we're going to get into today. What was a slave 3,000 years ago when the Bible talked about slaves? And the Dictionary of Later New Testament and its developments, what are we going to be reading from today primarily?
Okay.
So we got a quote that we're going to be reading from that. It's a pretty good dictionary. And it starts by saying this.
The modern readers must overcome their temptation to read into any ancient Jewish, Greek, or Roman text their knowledge of modern slavery. The meaning of any familiar-sounding term can be determined only by close investigation of the particular social system and cultural
values
the early Christian writers took for granted.
Okay.
Let's see, Melita. Among the distinctive and often surprising features of slavery...
I like how you're reading the footnotes. See Melina, page 28.
Among the distinctive and often surprising features of slavery as practiced around the Mediterranean in the early centuries of our area are these.
Okay, number one. These are some of the distinctives that are different. Slaves back then, an enslaved person generally could not be identified by appearance or clothing. Racial or ethnic origins were not reliable indicators of social or legal status.
Right.
That should blow your mind. No, I mean, I'm absolutely serious. This means that when we're talking about slaves in a biblical sense, you could not know who was a slave and who wasn't a slave by looking at them.
Mind blown.
Their race wouldn't tell you. Their clothes couldn't tell you. Nothing about their appearance. Nothing about their social status, nothing about their legal status could tell you that they were a slave.
Right.
Right there off the bat, this ought to say, wow, this is different than what we think of as slavery.
It is.
It's very different. The second thing is this.
The cultural and religious traditions of slaves were usually those of their owners and other free persons.
In other words, these slaves weren't that different than the people around them.
Right.
They shared the same traditions. They shared the same religion, the same cultural ideas. They could have been friends.
Right.
I mean, this is huge.
I would imagine that they were most often were.
They could be going to the same church.
Mm-hmm.
One could be a deacon and the other just a layman. And by the way, we're going to find out later that the one who's a deacon, the other one just a layman. That doesn't mean you know which one is the
right,
slave.
That may have been a role reversal there from what you might possibly think would be true.
Yeah. Number three, the education of slaves was encouraged 3,000 years ago, enhancing their value. Some slaves were better educated than their owners.
Yeah.
Rome's cultural leadership in the empire largely depended upon educated foreign-born slaves who'd been taken there. Are you guys catching this?
Yeah.
Slaves were sometimes better educated than their owners. They went to the same churches as their owners. They were not identifiable by their race or their religion or their clothing or anything like that. You couldn't look at them and know that they were a slave.
Right.
I mean, this,
I imagine that the highly educated person would be of more value because they can run your estate.
Well, see, and that's the point.
Totally.
Slaves back then, you wanted them to be educated. Mm-hmm. In our culture, slavery was a demeaning thing.
Yes,
you wanted to hold people in slavery because you had power over them. Slavery back then was usually temporary, and so people wanted their slaves to be as best educated as they could be, because that's going to get them it was like hiring someone to be your servant for a while.
Right.
You wanted the best person for the job. All right, we're going to go ahead and answer Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, we're going to take this left turn real quick.
Yes.
All right, Bible contradiction today is brought to you by the fine folks over at I can't remember.
You can't remember.
I didn't write it down. It's the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
.net or .org? Yeah.
Freedom From Religion Foundation.
I can't remember. .tv. Right.
Is God omnipotent or not?
Yes, he is.
Well, I don't know. Jeremiah 32:27 would say so. Yeah. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?
No, nothing's too hard for you.
That's correct. So, yes, God is omnipotent. Matthew 19:26 concurs. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
All things are possible. All things.
So, yes, God is omnipotent. But look at Judges 1:19. Everything comes crumbling down. The
what?
Lord,
oh, no.
The Lord was with the men of Judah. They took possession of the hill country, but they were unable to drive the people from the plains because they had chariots fitted with iron.
Oh, dear.
And God just couldn't do it.
So God's omnipotent unless Iron Man shows up.
Right.
Then God's like, oh, no.
Yeah. So what's up with that, man?
All right. Well, back to our cracked acronym. The A stands for author's intention. Right. You always have to ask, what was the author trying to communicate here? Because, let's be honest, sometimes people take what you say and they twist it.
Yeah.
Or they use it in a way that you didn't actually intend. It's possible. And so we sometimes take what the writers of the Bible have said and use it in a way that they didn't intend. Mm-hmm. Now, we read this Judges 1:19. It says, the Lord was with the men of Judah. They took possession of the hill country and were like, okay, good. The Lord's with them. Yeah. They took possession. Then it says, but they were unable to drive the people from the plains because the chariots were fitted with iron.
Right.
Now, the assumption there is, oh, the Lord is with them, but they couldn't win.
Right. Iron must be more powerful than God.
But was that what he was intending to say? Listen, he said the Lord was with the men of Judah, but they lost.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is with them, but they lost.
Right.
He's not intending on saying God wasn't powerful enough. He was intending on saying something different. We're going to use context to figure this out. But also, his intention, John Wesley, a teacher from hundreds of years ago, says this. Because of their unbelief, whereby they distrusted God's power to destroy those who had chariots of iron.
Ah.
It doesn't mean that God was not powerful enough, but that the Israelites didn't do it.
Right.
Okay, the intention here, when he writes, the Lord is with them, they took possession of the hill country, but were unable to drive the people from the plains because they had chariots fitted with iron. He doesn't say, and God was unable to. He says, they nice. Were unable to.
Nice.
It's not a reference to God. It's a reference to the men of Judah. They were unable to do it. And if you look just a few verses later, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it says, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up out of Egypt, and I led you into the land where I swore to give to your ancestors. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you've disobeyed me. Why have you done this?
Oh, snap.
You see, God right there is pointing out, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. It's not that God couldn't defeat them because they had iron. It's that the people were too frightened by the iron, and though God was with them, they still lost.
Right.
That was the intention. So even if God's with you, if you don't follow through on what God tells you to do, you can still lose. And that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
I guess a modern day correlation would be you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Hey, that's a pretty good one.
Thank you. I just made it up right here on the spot.
No, actually, people have used that for quite a while.
Right.
All right. Back to the slave thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, slaves 3,000 years ago were far different. We're gonna answer and get all this done on the other side of the show, but you got to get over to truthrevolution.tv.
Right.
And you got to come over to Revolution Church. Look, if you're in Salina, Kansas, or near Salina, Kansas, you got to come in person. We're meeting at 9 and 11 o'clock every Sunday morning.
1111 West South.
So this is super Google important.
It.
Yeah. You got to get out here. Now, if you're not here, you can watch live online. We do our services. We broadcast them live. You can ask me questions right there live during the online sermon.
Yeah.
So you can send a text message or even click on our questions on the live link, and it comes right up to me on stage. You ask questions during the sermon. So check it out. Watch us live online. Get over to truthrevolution.tv. Ask some questions. We love when you guys send in questions. We got a good one today. All right. We're going to continue talking about the slavery thing. We've acknowledged 3 differences. We're going to try to hit all 10 that we have.
Right, okay.
So we're going to be blazing through this.
We can do it.
All right. Numbers 4 through 10 coming up on the other side of this break. Why would God allow slavery? Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One critic has asked, if God is all-knowing and all-powerful and has everything under control, why does he keep asking for money every Sunday?
God asks for money because he cares about our hearts.
Luke 12 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Let's be honest. How often have we not exactly been excited about going to heaven? I've been there. I mean, we're human.
Sometimes putting my heart into knowing God is hard. I'd rather kick it at the beach.
God knows that where we put our money, we'll start to find value in. If we put all our money into ourselves, we'll be pretty self-absorbed.
But if we put money into God's kingdom, we'll eventually become concerned about that.
So it's not that God wants your money. He wants you, and he wants you to want heaven. And literally, one of the best ways to do that is to put your money there.
Every investor is concerned about the company he invests in. He checks in on it, thinks about it. The same is true of God's kingdom.
Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Why would God allow slavery?
I don't know.
All right. We're pointing out that slavery is far different than it used to be. Very different than it was 3,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Using our cracked acronym, the D stands for dialect. You gotta think, what did the word mean when they used it 3,000 right. years ago?
Not the same thing as we use today.
No. We found out that slaves weren't identifiable by their race or their clothing.
Right.
They were probably the same religion as their owners. They were well-educated. And here's number four. It says, partially as a result, many slaves functioned in highly responsible and sensitive positions, such as a workshop and household managers, accountants, tutors, personal secretaries, sea captains.
Wow.
Physicians. An important minority of slaves had considerable influence and social power even over freeborn persons of a lesser status than the slave's owners. In other words, the slaves were in charge of free people.
Right. That kind of takes our concept and turns it on its head.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That would never have in our American version of slavery a slave who was the sea captain
right.
And a bunch of white people doing his bidding.
Right.
But back then, it wasn't by race.
Right.
And so you have these people, some of them were slaves, and their job was to be a sea captain, the captain of a ship. I mean, some of these people were high up in the empire of Rome. Number five says, by no means were the enslaved regularly to be found at the bottom of the socioeconomical pyramid. Rather, those free and impoverished persons who had to seek work each day without any certainty of employment occupied the lowest level. Some of them sold themselves into slavery in order to obtain job security, food, clothing, and shelter.
Right.
In other words, if you were a slave, they looked at you better than when they looked at a poor person.
Right. Because you got a job.
Oh,
you
yeah, have exactly.
You have income.
I was emailing with a friend of mine today, and he about slavery in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and he emailed back and said, "This actually slavery in the Old Testament sounds a lot more like military service today."
Yes.
Yeah. Where, and I think he was right on.
Conscription.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Where military service is quite accurate because you can't leave until you've fulfilled your obligations, whether it's a time commitment or a debt. And they have total control over your life, what your job is. They could separate you from your family. They could physically cause you pain or even death. But you are educated. You're provided for. You can even gain better social status. Some people join the military for lifelong prestigious careers.
Yep.
I mean, similar to what a slave was 3,000 years ago. I mean, I think that's very much what it was like. Slaves could be rich. Slaves could be in important political positions. They could have very important jobs like sea captains. They could be very well educated. They could have the same traditions as the people who owned them, who happen to have less money than them.
Right.
They could be, it doesn't matter what race they were. This isn't what we think of. Number six, slaves could own property, including their own slaves.
This blows the mind right here.
Yeah.
You know,
they could own their own slaves. And then number seven says this. This is one of my favorites. Yeah,
because slaves were owned by persons across the range of economic levels, they developed no consciousness of being a social class or of suffering a common plight.
Wow.
Thus, no laws were needed to hinder public assembly of slaves.
Slaves were allowed to hang out together.
Right.
Because it didn't matter. Because they didn't have like, oh, we're in this together. We're all slaves together. Because like, no, some slaves are rich. Some are poor. Some were a short period of time. Some were for their lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were all different. Because no one was the same. And slavery was, I mean, you got to get out of what you think slavery is.
Right.
And number eight, in contrast to New World slavery, ancient owners did not regard their adult slaves paternalistically. They clearly distinguished the roles of parents and of owners and felt no need to justify the institution of slavery.
Right.
They didn't think it was a bad thing. They didn't have to go around saying, we believe slavery is a good thing and I'm going to justify it. And these are like my children. No, they were like, well, yeah, that's my slave. I bought him. He's going to be my slave for 7 years. He's got a job to do. What do you mean? Why is it bad? I don't understand. He's making a lot of money.
Right.
You know, like they went, if you said it was bad, they would have been kind of confused 3,000 years ago.
Mm.
Now, well, let's go ahead and we're going to come back to this, hopefully, but let's answer our listener question.
I got a question.
All right, question today from Robert. Wow.
Robert.
He is a Christian from Las Vegas. Are we getting all the way out of Las Vegas now?
Wait a minute. I didn't think they had Christians in Las Vegas.
They do.
I'm just joking.
They do.
I'm just joking.
All right. He says, I appreciate the work you guys do. Thank you very much, Robert.
Suddenly my email is filled with hate mail from Las Vegas Christians.
Though I believe Jesus is God, Robert says, I do understand the difficulty someone with a different worldview may have. So here is my question. If Jesus is God, why does he refer to God as someone other than himself?
All right. First of all, I shouldn't have made that joke. I know there's Christians in Las Vegas. Very serious Christians in Las Vegas. You love Jesus. That's good. But for, you know, first, hey, props for thinking on someone else's perspective.
Right.
That's good stuff right there. He says, well, this is how I see it. But you know what? Someone else might see it this way. That's just really good to think like that. Mm-hmm. And the answer, I mean, so if Jesus is God, why does he refer to God as someone else? Like, and Jesus speaks about God in the third person in Matthew 5:8. Jesus says this.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Okay. He also speaks to God in Mark 15:34.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Okay. Why does he do this? Well, and the answer is Jesus has two natures.
Mm-hmm.
He is 100% God and 100% man. The Second Council of Constantinople dealt with this topic, actually. And this is this is a quote. This is a long time ago, like 1500 right. years ago. It says, this is from their article that they wrote, the union of God, the Word, Jesus, with the flesh, according to synthesis, that is according to hypostasis. For in the mystery of Christ, the union, according to synthesis, preserves two natures, which have combined without confusion and without separation. In other words, they've taken Jesus has the nature of God and the nature of man, and they have been put together in Jesus Christ. They're neither confused. They didn't like mix together and, oh, am I God or man? I don't know. But they were not separate either. He is both 100% God, 100% man, lacking neither from either, but gaining nothing over the other.
Right.
God, at the same time as we say that, Jesus is both God and man. We also say God is more than just Jesus. God has three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus speaks about God, he's either speaking about the Father, the Spirit, or all three of them together.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in Matthew 5:8 that we quoted, which said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." He was talking about all three, including himself. He can talk about himself that way. When he speaks about himself only, he's speaking about himself. If he were to say,
and he usually designates that.
Yeah, hey, the Son of Man, and he's talking about himself. And when he says, hey, in this instance, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, he's still referring to himself, but he's also referring to the Father and the Holy Spirit at the same time.
Right.
So it's very important to note that God is a Trinity, but that Jesus also has two natures, man and God. He can speak as a man and refer to God in the third person without referring to himself, but that doesn't mean that he's not God. Right. Kind of confusing, but the three persons is okay. We already know that for a number of different reasons. Okay, I'm Jeff, and I have one person.
Right.
There is a rock, and it has no persons. So you already know that an object can either have zero persons or one person. They can have different number of persons.
Mm-hmm, right.
God has three persons. You got a rock with zero persons, Jeff with one person, and God with three persons.
So it's just different.
Right. So there has to be some way for Jesus to communicate, hey, the other persons of the Godhead Trinity, without saying the other persons of the Godhead Trinity.
Right.
Right. And he does that by saying God, which is the correct way to say it. I mean, if you think about it, sometimes we even use the term God in referring to the Father.
Yes.
And Jesus for Jesus. We can say, I love Jesus. I love God. And
yeah, that's how I usually do it. I refer to God as God as far as God the Father. And Jesus as Jesus.
Right. You refer to Father as God.
Yes.
And Jesus as Jesus.
Yes.
Right. And you don't mean Jesus isn't God.
Right.
That's just your colloquial language.
Yes.
And Jesus was doing the same thing. As part of the Trinity, he uses the word God to talk about the other parts of the Trinity. And that's the answer for our listener question.
I got a question.
All right. That can get a little confusing because of the mystery of the Trinity and such.
Yeah. You know, we did a whole show with Jacob Lee on that subject.
Mm-hmm.
So go to our website, and you can, if you want more on the Trinity, you can go there. All right. So a couple last few things about this slavery stuff, because this is really, really important. Number 7. Because slaves are owned by persons across a range of economic levels, they develop no consciousness. Okay?
Yeah.
I know where you did that.
Okay.
They did not develop a social sector or suffer a common plight. Okay, the very fact that slaves themselves did not see themselves as a common group of people should tell us something.
Right.
They did not see themselves as a super single group of people suffering a plight together 3,000 years ago. They
right.
didn't. And
yeah.
so we shouldn't address them as
they
such.
They often had different backgrounds and different,
yeah.
you know, so it wasn't...
Number 8, in contrast to New World slavery, ancient owners did not regard their... Oh, I already did the number one. Number 9, persons not infrequently sold themselves to pay debts, to escape poverty, to climb socially.
Right.
To climb socially.
To climb socially, to become a slave, climb socially.
Or to obtain special government positions. That's really interesting.
It is.
I need to climb socially. There's that girl I like. She's a little bit above me. I'm going to sell myself into slavery.
And that could be a benefit for you. I mean, back then.
It could, actually. I mean, we got to make it sound like a joke, but it's not a joke. That could happen. And number 10, a large number of domestic and urban slaves, perhaps the majority, can anticipate being set free by age 30, becoming a free man or freed woman. At any moment, innumerable ex-slaves throughout the empire were proof that slavery need not be a permanent condition. And even ancient Greek commentators expressed astonishment that slaves freed by Roman citizens usually became citizens themselves. This is interesting. Notable in Acts 23-25 is the Roman governor Marcus Antonius Felix, who had been a slave until Antonia, the Emperor Claudius's manumitted him. Now, okay, so you get a Roman governor. He was a slave.
Wow.
Okay, slavery was so different back
right.
then. So when the Bible talks about slavery, you cannot put on it what you think slavery is.
Right. That's what, you know... The overall question is, why does God allow slavery? Well, slavery back then doesn't seem like such a bad thing.
Right. When we say, why did God allow slavery?
Mm-hmm.
We're really saying, why did God allow the same thing that happened in America in the 1800s?
Right. And
but
that's
God
not
didn't,
the case here.
Yeah, God didn't allow that. That was not okay with God. In fact, when you get further into the Bible in the New Testament, you get the book of like Philemon.
Mm-hmm.
And there, the scripture is arguing against slavery because slavery had changed a little bit by that
time.
There you
go, right.
All right, so truthrevolution.tv. Get over to truthrevolution.tv. If you haven't been there, get to truthrevolution.tv.
Truth Shots, 3 days a week.
Monday.
Wednesday.
Friday.
Mm-hmm. 60 seconds of truth.
60 seconds of truth. And get on over there. Ask some questions. If you have a challenge, a thought, or a logical problem, shoot it to us.